Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being brave and driving through snowy weather, whether that was yesterday to get here last night or this morning. White-knuckle driving, I'm sure. It was for my 10-mile commute, but I know a lot of you travel a lot further than 10 miles to get here. So thank you very much. We have a very full agenda. We have some new projects to handle, and then also this is a funding meeting, so we have all of our prioritization projects. We'll get started with a review of our upcoming meeting dates and locations. I think we have a couple proposed changes to our normal schedule. Candace, do you want to discuss those?
Hello. This is the second funding meeting of fiscal year 2019. In Board Docs 1-2 on the financial page, there are 6 projects to be discussed, 1 pending, 1 special consideration, and 14 projects that have already been discussed. But there are 2 of them that will request a rediscussion. In your board docs, you will see that one of the final, there's a schedule, and you've also gotten a blue sheet that has notified you of a few changes in the upcoming meeting dates. It's usually the first Thursday of every month. The first Thursday in July was July 4th. If the board meets, and sometimes there's fireworks, you know. So, but we thought maybe you wouldn't want to have a board meeting that day. So it has tentatively been moved, and hopefully it will be all right with you, to the second Thursday, which is July 11th. August has been moved to August 8th. There are 5 Thursdays in August, so that just kind of puts us on a normal schedule. So please note those things, and if it's all right with the board, that's where we will make it happen.
Help me know. The September 5th is the following week from Labor Day weekend? Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to accept the change in the dates.
Okay. I don't think we need a motion, but we'll just modify the dates. So I think the chair just sets the dates. So if everybody's okay with those dates, then Candace will modify those appointments on your schedule. So you'll all get a copy of that in your calendars. Hopefully all you have to do is hit accept on those appointments.
Okay.
Let's go to the financial review.
In your board docs on page 1-2, as I said, you will note that everything in yellow is what will be discussed at the meeting today. As you can see, the finances look all right. They're not flush, but the bonus fund continues to be the option where all the money seems to be coming into. To keep in mind, for those of you who are not certain of the two funds, we have mineral lease, which comes from the revenues as they're developed, and then the bonus fund comes from the lease payments, which is when a resource developer wants to stay on a parcel of federal land, they make lease payments to the federal government. So those are the two different funds we have. They're statutorily different as well, which in the bonus fund, which is where we continue to build, it's the lease payments that continue to come. So, and statutorily, it has to have an interest rate not less than the state bond rate. So right now, it's 2.5% or higher. On the agenda today, there are 6 new projects, and then there are 14 projects to be discussed for final funding by this board. 2 of them would like time before the board to discuss the funding that was authorized and how they were placed on the prioritization list. Number 4, Uinta County Transportation, and number 8, Bryce Canyon City. Of the new projects, Centerfield City has withdrawn their application, so that application will not be discussed at this meeting. Oh, please sign in.
Sign your name, if you haven't, at the entrance of the door. Okay, that concludes our initial briefing. We'll go to introductions. We do have a new member with us today, not Steve Farrell, but he's got the Steve Farrell name tag in front of him. Because there's, I think Steve is has finished his time on the Water Resources Board, so they have indicated a new designee for that board. So we'll go around the room and introduce board members. We'll start over here with our senator, our newly appointed, newly elected senator.
Ron Winterton, I'm representing Duchesne County.
Jack Lytle from Daggett County, representing Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
Good morning. Nagi Sinadi, representing UDOT Commission. By looking at some of you, you look like unmade bed on Sunday morning. Come on, cheer up. This is a time to get excited. Santa Claus is going to be here to give you some money, so please be cheerful. Thank you.
Hey, some of us are cheery on Sunday morning, so.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office.
David Damshin, State Treasurer. I have a nasty cold, so don't think I'm at a loss for enthusiasm this morning. I just don't feel very well. Don't come any closer. And unfortunately for Allison, Chris and I both have a cold, so she's bookended. You're going to get sick. So I'll try not to breathe on you too much. Anyway, good morning.
Jonathan Hardy, Division Director for Housing Community Development, Chair of the Board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm the Director of the Community Development Office.
Candace Powers with Housing and Community Development. I am the Fund Manager for the Mineral Lease Fund.
Morning. I'm Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner. I represent the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning. My name is Kyle Stevens. I'm the new representative from the Board of Water Resources, taking Steve Farrell's place. Just a little bit of back. I live in Kaysville, Davis County area, and worked for almost 40 years for the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food, and then been on the Board of Water Resources for a couple of years. Prior to that, I was 8 years on the Weber Basin Water Conservancy District on their board of directors for that period of time. And so look forward to getting acquainted with everyone and appreciate being here.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Dean Baker, Mayor of Naples City, and I'm here representing Uinta County.
I'm Commissioner Tudor Ogden from Sevier County, representing Six County Association.
I'm Mike Dalton, Beaver County Commissioner. I represent Five County AOG.
Gail Gardner with the Housing and Community Development Division.
And over here we have Brenda Brown, making sure all of our technology works the way it's supposed to. And a bunch of other staff that we really appreciate, and all of you, again, we appreciate you coming here and all the great work you do in the areas of our state. Pretty diverse areas, pretty diverse projects that we'll be dealing with, so let's just jump right into it. Our next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Lytle to approve the minutes of December 13th, 2018. Further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Could I note that I'm going to abstain? I wasn't here in November.
Okay. And an abstention from Commissioner Dalton and Mayor Baker. The minutes are approved. We'll move on to our new projects. I think we can get through some of these pretty quickly. So we'll invite Tridell LaPointe Water Improvement District up to the table. At this time, turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
The first application on the agenda today for new projects to be discussed is Tridell LaPointe Water Improvement District. This is for 2018 water system improvements. This project will consist of updating the current system to meet state pressure and storage requirements. It includes a water tank and some lines. The request is $2,075,000 total CIB, of which there's a $423,000 30-year 0% loan and a $1,652,000 grant. The Tridell-La Pointe Improvement District has $25,000 in cash that they are contributing to this. The Drinking Water Board has also authorized funding for half of this project. They met with the Drinking Water Board on January 15th. The Drinking Water Board has authorized $777,000 as a 30-year loan at 1.75% and a $260,500 grant. I don't know what this represents for them if they choose to take Drinking Water Board money. So what you see before you on the agenda is the entire amount. If CIB were to fund some of it, it would be $1,062,500. This would, and I don't know what the board wants to do with that lesser amount, or if they want to just fund the whole thing. 50-50 of that would be $531,005 grant and $531,000 loan. And with that, I will turn the time over.
Let's hear from our applicants, if you'll introduce yourselves. If you'll push that button, make sure there's a green light. Just push that button down front, and it should turn green.
Okay, you don't hold. I'm
okay.
Pushing and holding. Okay,
yes.
Ryan Goodrich. With Tridell, I'm a board member. And
my name is Jared McKee. I'm the district manager for Tridell Point Water Improvement District.
Do you want to give us a brief description on your project and maybe kind of answer some of those questions related to the drinking water
decision? Yeah. I would love to. So just a brief outline of what this project is and why we're coming before you guys to seek funding. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to come and meet with you guys and for you guys considering this application. We've got three different projects tied into this project. First of all, we have pipeline in the La Pointe area. That's about midway into our system. We have some old lines. They're 3 and 4 inch that go from a pressure zone 1 to pressure zone 2. Last year, we completed a hydraulic model. And in that hydraulic model, we've had problems in the far south end of our system or pressure zone 3. And through that hydraulic model, we were able to determine that if we were to upsize those 3 and 4 inch lines from pressure zone 1 to pressure zone 2, that we would be able to bring this far south end of our system up into state compliance as far as our pressures that we're able to maintain during peak instantaneous demand. We think we can do that, or according to the model, we'll only have to replace a mile of pipe to do that. We don't have to replace all the way down into the pressure zone 3, but we do have to replace about a mile between to feed a PRV. Second on that list is we've got some transite pipe. I don't know if you guys are aware of transite, but we've got about 3/4 of a mile of transite still in our system. Transite pipe was really good pipe. It was put in the day back in the 60s. The only problem is it turns out they made it with asbestos. And as we all know, that's not something we want in our water system. And we are seeking funding to replace that pipe and pull it out of service. And then the third aspect of this project is a 500,000-gallon storage tank. Our treatment plant, this last year, our peak instantaneous demand was a day we reached in June or July last year, and we turned over about 1.4 million gallons through the treatment plant into the distribution center. Put that in context, I have 500,000 gallons of storage currently. Had my treatment plant gone down for more than 8 hours, I would have had no water in the tanks to supply my distribution system. As part of that hydraulic model, we were able to look at the state standards and look at the sizing requirements for our storage, and we are below state standard. That 500,000-gallon tank will bring us into compliance for the 30-year projection on our growth. That will bring us into state compliance today and for a bailout of 30 years. In regards to the Division of Drinking Water, we came before our AOG this last year, and we presented this project in its entirety, preparing to come to the CIB to seek funds. At that time, our AOG's recommendation was that we should also try and seek funding from the Division of Drinking Water. They said, this is a good project. We appreciate it. This looks like it's something that's needed. Looking at your numbers, this seems like a good project to be funded. But if there's any way we can get funding out of the Division of Drinking Water, that will make it easier to sell the CIB. You know, we can have some collaboration, we can have some partnership, and we can try and move those funds from different pots. So we did that. We pursued our application. We were able to meet with them last month, and they were very gracious. And we had the support of the Division of Drinking Water Board in this project. The problem is that the terms that were offered make this project unsustainable. I have the contract document that they presented for the 30-year loan on the $778,000. The payment would be roughly $33,000 a year. On top of that, the condition of accepting the loan is that we have to put 5% of our budget, including depreciation and capital or debt repayments, into a capital improvement replacement fund for those tanks and pipe that we would be paying for, which would be putting us, I understand that that 5% would be money that would be ours, it would be a savings account, but that would put that for Division of Drinking Water's portion alone, we would need to be putting away $54,000 and $55,000 each year for that portion alone, excluding any loan payment that would happen from CIB. And at those terms, we cannot afford it in our system. As you look at our Magi, we're roughly in line. We've got three different communities that we serve. We serve Tridale, La Pointe, and Fort Duchesne. In Tridale, we have a few more wealthy. There's some business owners, some people that own some oil-filled companies, and they DC Welding. We've got some fairly big-name people that have a lot of money up there, honestly, and they have skewed our Magi up significantly. If you look at the elementary schools in our area, there's one elementary school that we serve essentially entirely and another elementary that we serve about half the population. One of those La Pointe Elementary, 61% or 131 of the 215 are on free and reduced lunch. Eagle View Elementary, which we only serve a portion of, has 325 of 392 students on free and reduced lunch for a combined of 75%. Weighted average of our students are on free and reduced lunch, and we do not have the capacity to raise rates to take on an additional $60,000 payment to the Division of Drinking Water. They were very kind and supportive of the project, but ultimately they have a very small amount of grant money, and they divided it across the year. They said, these are the projects that we have. Here's the ones we are going to fund, and they allocated the money they had, and the 225 was what they could afford. It was very generous, but it does make it unsustainable for us. So we are seeking the full funding, the $2 million, from CIB Board today.
Okay. Maybe a quick question on whether the grant is contingent on getting the loan also, or is the grant portion of drinking water?
Yes, it is contingent. I did ask if we could even prorate, and they said no. They will take the grant. I could accept a smaller portion of it and take the loan at 1.5, but I would have to prorate the grant.
Okay.
And if I take any money from them, I have to qualify. It's federal money, which means the cost of my project will go up considerably. Okay. If I take even a small portion of that money.
Okay. Questions from the board? Mr. Winterton. Mr. Winterton.
I'll defer. Okay, first of all, is this a project that you can phase at any point to one over another, or is it, in your opinion, one of those that you need to do all at one time?
Anything is possible. When the board asks questions, anything could be done, but these are all projects that are needing to happen now. Like I said, the tank, we are currently significantly undersized. We have asbestos lines or transite lines in the system, and we are undersized on lines going to the south. So it's something that there are three portions of this project, but all three of them need to take place where they all need to happen now.
Do you have any fire hydrants on this line?
Currently, no. We do not, where we have 3- and 4-inch lines, we do not put fire hydrants on anything. We have some on some old 6-inch lines back when that used to be the state standard. However, we will be replacing this line with 8-inch line, and when we go in with 8-inch, we will provide fire flow. It is included in our hydraulic calculations, and the main line that we replace, we will put fire flow through that portion of the system.
Okay. Commissioner Lytle.
two questions.
Can you guys pull your mics a little closer, too? I think that'll...
Just two questions.
Thanks.
One, on your, where are you at on your master plan, and are these things that came out of the master plan?
Yes, the master plan was completed. These are projects that were identified. These are the projects that were identified, and our immediate and our 20-year projections were identical. These were identified that needed to happen immediately, and these are also the same projects that fell within the 20-year projected growth.
Okay.
We've got some other things that project out at 50 years, but this hit.
These were identified as immediate.
These were identified in the hydraulic model as our immediate needs, and also as they're the same needs that were on the 20-year projection as well.
And then my other question was, and I didn't see it, but what in your apps, what's the general square miles that you service within your area?
We have a fairly large distribution system. We are, if you look at that map, from the north.
I just didn't see what the miles it. Square miles.
Honestly, our
roughly.
District is something like 60 square miles. Is that correct?
Something 65.
Yeah.
It's
a fairly large distribution system. Yes.
And very spread out, homes to homes to homes, very spread.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti. I'll come over here in just a second here. So.
Okay. In your minutes on May 14 of the last year, you had mentioned that you're going to come before CIB and you will ask for 80-20, but then they may have opportunities to give you a better ratio. And also, by looking at your finances, since 2007, you only have one loan outstanding, which is about 20 years at 0%. Would you take better ratio offered by the board this morning rather than the one you're proposing?
We actually have several loans outstanding, so I'm not sure what's showing in the file here, but we have two CIB. We've got a $30,000 loan repayment due annually for our treatment plant that was built in 2009, and we have a 2014 $30,000 repayment as well for a pipeline project. On top of that, it was not... We have a reservoir, a raw water reservoir that we supply our water rights from, and we have another $20,000 payment to that that I know is not included in this because we do not hold the loan itself. It's held in White Rocks Irrigation's name or our irrigation company, and by contract, we are obligated to pay $20,000 of loan repayment for the 15% water we get in there. When we look at our finances, once again, anything's possible, but it would be a stretch for our consumers and we would have to raise rates, and that would be a stretch for most of the rank and file members of our system.
Thank you.
Yes, Stevens.
I had a question regarding the asbestos line. Is that going to be abandoned in place?
Yes, that is the intent. We will plug. We'll have to...
Otherwise, you'd have more expense with abatement.
Right, and that's also one of the... Yes,
okay.
100%.
Mayor Baker?
Okay, I was going to say, if there's not any more comments, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the proposed $1.652 million grant with a $423,000 loan at 0% interest.
For 30 years?
For 30 years, yes, for 30 years.
Okay. That motion's in order. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second from Senator Winterton. Let me just confirm with Lisa that that's correct. They can't get the grant unless they take loan from drinking water. Okay. All right. Further discussion to that motion? Yes, Commissioner Ogden.
I would like to make a substitute motion on that they take the 2.5% interest on that.
So all other terms as stated?
Yes.
Okay, so the substitute motion would be a $1,652,000 grant, $423,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%. Is there a second to that motion?
To be consistent with other projects, I would like to second that motion.
A second from Mr. Zanotti. Further discussion to the substitute motion?
I'll make a comment on that.
Yes,
you go to the blue sheet and you look at it, we've been very consistent on this, and we've given a lot of grant on water projects. And to non-producing counties, we gave 2.5%. All the rest of them have been 0%. I'd like to be consistent in what we're doing here. This is in Uinta County. It is a very highly impacted area, and I think that they still qualify for 0%.
I'll make a comment there, too. If you'll look at your financial review sheet, this is actually one of the first meetings I've actually seen a surplus balance in the mineral lease account. This is where we can give grants and 0% loans out of that account. It's been a while since we've seen that as a possibility. So, I mean, I think as a board for the last couple of years as we've been doing this transfer to the Throughput Infrastructure Fund, there hasn't been a lot of room to make a lot of loans that less than 2.5% because we only had the bonus fund, but we do have some possibilities this time, more than we've had in the past. So that is something to consider. We do want to see some repayment source out of the mineral lease account. Just as we get repayments there, that replenishes our ability to do 0% loans or grants in the future. So that is something we want. We still have a large bonus fund balance, so I'm sensitive to that as well. But that is something we haven't seen for, I want to say it's like 30 meetings. we haven't had a lot of room there, but we seem to be having a little more room. I don't know if some large project paid back all their money, and that's why we have this money in the account, but we do have a little more than we've seen in the past. Other questions to the substitute motion?
Substitute to the substitute?
Okay, so the motion before us, the substitute motion before us is a $1,652,000 grant and a $423,000 30-year loan at 2.5%. And since we have an original motion on the table, let's do a raise of hands. Who is in favor of that substitute motion? Commissioner Ogden, Mr. Zanotti, and Treasurer Damption. Opposed to that motion? Senator Winterton, Commissioner Lytle, Commissioner Dalton, Mayor Baker, Commissioner Adams. Any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
An abstention from Mr. Stevens. That motion fails. We'll go back to the underlying original motion, which is a $1,652,000 grant and a $423,000 loan 30-year at 0%. In favor of that motion, by raise of hands. All right, same players. Senator Winterton, Commissioner Lytle, Commissioner Dalton, Mayor Baker, and Commissioner Adams. Opposed to that motion, Mr. Zanotti, Mr. Damption, Commissioner Ogden. That motion passes, and this is a funding meeting, so that is approved. A $1,652,000 grant and a $423,000 loan, 30-year at 0%.
Thank you guys Thank so you. Much. We greatly appreciate what you've done for us.
Thank you very much.
The chair's discretion, I've had a request. I know some of our board members may be running up and down from the Hill today, and I want to get to this particular project. It's on the priority list, the Uinta Transportation Special Service District, so we'll invite them up to the table at this time. This is one that is on the priority list, and they're requesting a reconsideration of the terms. And so we'll invite them to the table. And I think, Candace, you shared a little bit on this, but what we have approved on the priority list is a $2,265,000 grant and a $2,266,000 15-year loan at 2.5%. The applicant is requesting reconsideration as a 100% grant. So that's the summary on the project from we already reviewed this, so we'll turn some time over to our applicant to introduce themselves and to provide any further explanation.
Great. Thank you for allowing us to be here. My name is Cheryl Meyer. I am the new executive director of the Uinta Transportation Special Service District in Uinta County. I just would like to say before we start, I was a little nervous to come here, but I'm super excited because I found out it was Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. And now,
Santa comes again.
I got sad again because Santa might get sick. I feel bad for you guys who are sick. So anyways, thank you again for letting us be here. So, like was stated, this project came before you in December. We're here today. We were asked to bring some of our financials, and we're asking to renegotiate the 50-50 at 2.5% interest loan. So, what I've come up with, and again, like I said, I'm the new one, so I've looked at the budget. Figured out where we're at. Right now, I know that mineral lease money is down everywhere. We are able to support our CIB loan payments back to you at just under $2 million. You guys all have the same spreadsheet that I'm looking at. Some of our other requirements that we do at the Transportation District is our basic transit authority. Our airport loan payments, our airport operations, and then the UTSSD operations. As you can see, we're at $4.5 million, and what it takes to run that, our projected figures for mineral lease money is $4.5 million. So as you can see, we're in need of this being 100% grant. We're in a position where we will not be able to build this project or this road without it being 100% grant. This road, and we have some other numbers, the economic impact that this road supports, we can discuss those numbers as well. But,
So Mike Hawley and Dave, I sound worse than you, so... We're
is yours a man cold like mine? Because mine's life threatening.
Yes, I fear for my life.
It's really bad.
Yes,
Mr. Chair, point of order on the whining.
So we've got an exhibit here, and my colleague, sorry, with Jones and DeMille Engineering. This is Bart Jensen, also with Jones and DeMille Engineering. But we've got an exhibit here. We were able to pull together. Just to try to portray, so everybody understands what this road does and what the bridge that is also on the road does and serves. We were able to identify that there are 2,864, and we talked about this last time, but we got some additional information. Every dot that's yellow there, I don't know if you can see in the exhibit, there's a red line that, if you're colorblind like me, it's sitting on a green background, and I can't even see it, but it's there, and that is a Ray Bottom Road. On that road is also the White River Bridge that we talked about last time. These 2,864 wells are only a part of the wells in Uinta County, but those are the ones that are served by this corridor. We were able to go through and show the annual production based on the available data production of each of those wells. It's a high concentration of gas in that area, but there is some oil. And on your numbers, you can see there's 1,362,000 barrels of oil every year that come across that bridge. The big number is the gas. The estimated annual production of gas in 1,000 cubic feet, that's what MCF stands for, is 236,000,000 cubic feet of gas. That is all those wells are serviced by this corridor. That's 45% of the natural gas that's produced in the entire Uinta Basin is what's accessed there. We did talk about last time as well, just as a reminder, the detour in order to go around this, when this corridor floods, and there's some pictures on the back of your handout, the detour to go around is almost 93 miles, and it goes through downtown Vernal. You have to come up and around and come back to these wells from the backside. And I apologize, my voice is leaving me faster than I thought. But anyway, those are the numbers that what the impact of this corridor that we were asked to put together with for the district. So.
We're ready for questions?
In addition to the grant on the bridge, I apologize, this was the total corridor cost of the White River Bridge and the Ray Bottoms Road together is almost $7 million. It's $6.8 million. It's on your sheet there. The White River Bridge project is being delivered by county funding and other funds for $2.3 million, and that's almost a third of the cost. So the road is about two-thirds of the cost of the overall project, but the county does have the skin in the game with the other White River Bridge project.
I also, can I add, like I said, I know money's down and the funds may not be there right now, but I'm also asking, there's a possibility that we could phase this project and phase the grant funding as well, if that's an option that is pleasing to the board.
Well, let's go to the board for questions, comments. Mayor Baker.
Let me make a comment. Those of you who flip over to this picture in the back, I've done that. I've crossed that. When it was flooded, worse than you can see, that you can see right now, the shoulder and that.
You can still see the sucker rod
on each side of the road, and it was over 3 foot across the road, and we lost drive lines, axles, and everything in our company trucks that I was surveying at that time over in that area. And it is a critical road, and it can flood. This year could be one of those years. So I look at it as a critical road, and we lost the axles and actually lost the transmission and axles in two trucks because of the distance to travel around and go over the Mountain Fuel Bridge and come back into that area. It was time and money that was a concern to us traveling that. So I was there. I understand it.
Commissioner Adams?
I know that the yellow sheet doesn't show the $2,277,000 for the bridge project, which is money coming out of the county's side of the ledger. And to me, that ought to be factored in as applicant cash on the entire project. We do have about a $7 million surplus in the fund that we could put grant money in. So I'm in favor of the project, and I'd be willing to make a motion when you're ready.
Any other questions before Mr. Zanotti?
You mentioned that you could phase this project. How many phases do you think that you can finish or you can anticipate to finish?
I would think no more than two. Phase it into this year to the beginning of next year and finish it next year.
And on the engineering side, I would say that's probably correct. With any more phasing beyond that, you have additional mobilization costs each year as you're going in and building a small section of it. But phasing it over 2 years is very feasible today.
Have you also approached the state for the economic development portion of the money, if there's any grant on their department? Because that is going to affect the whole state. The road that you're talking about, production of the gas and oil, is there a possibility you approach them for some kind of grant?
It is. The grant for the bridge was applied through the or the money from the bridge is a mix between the county and a grant, federal grant, for the joint through the Joint Highway Committee. With this particular location, there is a right-of-way, a 200-foot right-of-way through here. But it is it's bordered on tribal ground on both sides of the road. Eliminating federal funding for the road project is ideal because of the EA, right. the length of time that would be required to do that. And where we're staying within a right of way, if we can use CIB and local funds, it eliminates that costly environmental time frame to do the project.
Thank you.
Mr. Dalton.
Not to minimize the issue, but how often has it flooded in the last 15 years? And how I didn't see or didn't pay attention, how many miles is this project?
So I can speak to the mileage, and maybe Brian Meyer, the county road superintendent, can speak to how often it floods. It's about 1 3/4 mile, 1.75 miles long. It's between the Green River and the White River Bridge. That's the critical part. That's the part that floods, and Dean can probably back that up. I'm glad you didn't fall off the road, Dean, when it was flooding. And it's about a 10-foot or 15-foot fill on either side when it floods. If you went off the road, you'd float away down the Green River. But
can I comment to that as well?
Yeah, can we just get the question answered on the flooding, how often it flooded?
A lot of the issues that we – my name is Brian Meyer. I'm with you in the County Road Department. A lot of the issues that we have aren't always with when the water really comes over the road. When water's up next to the road, as high as it does get,
saturation.
It obviously – it ruins the structure of the road. It messes with the base of the road, and it causes a lot of damage that way. As far as going over the road, a couple times – yeah, 2012 was a big year – and then
it was in the 80s when I was.
80s was bad, yeah.
80s is when Shorty put the sucker rod out there so he could get his cow trucks across it.
Commissioner Lytle, do you have additional comments?
I think there's a couple issues that help in terms of the road itself. Obviously, you illustrated it well with the amount of product and service use it gets. The other part is the way that road's set, it may not, like you said, go over very often, but there, I think, aren't you looking at increasing the number of culverts so it acts less as a dike?
Larger and more.
And then the saturation issue that he brought up when the water is up and the fact that it has not got the drainage. It's a long time coming, I think, is the point. Not so much that it's how many times it's flooded, it's... They're behind. This is one of those projects that they're behind on, from my perspective. Thank you,
Commissioner Ogden.
Just a comment. Have you got enough elevation in this road? I don't remember how high you're going to take this road, but I'd certainly hope that if we fund this, that you get it high enough to where, you're not going to have to come back and do this again.
That's the idea. Yeah.
So you will have it high enough. I mean, high water years and things like that. So we're not going to have that problem.
And it will, the exact height that we raise the road will depend in large part on the hydrology and the river modeling that will be part of this design effort as we go through it. We're aware there's detailed flow logs, and as it's flooded, we know how much water is going down the Green. I think we'll have a very detailed model, and we'll be able to identify how high we've got to take that, in addition to how many structures and. But yes, that's all contemplated in it.
Hopefully, that would not be a significant cost with the data that exists in terms of study.
No, but it'll
because it's been done.
It has, yeah. The Green River has a lot of data with it. Yeah.
Mayor Baker.
This is on the upper end of what's called the Seabridge Road that was built with CIB money on the lower end of UNA County. So it's a critical part of the road to maintain it, and if it ever become a highway, it's got to happen.
What is the timeline for this project?
Well, that will depend on if the funding is phased or or if it can be all awarded this year. This project will be put out and started this year. It can be finished this year, if it's funded, and we don't phase the grant portion.
Mr. Ogden?
I would just support Bruce's motion on this.
Has he made it?
I don't think he's made it, but we'll go to Commissioner Adams for a motion.
Okay, well, we have a little over $7 million in the fund that we're going to take this out of. This is an additional $2.3 million that would come out of that fund, so it still leaves a significant amount of money in that fund. So I'll make a motion that we make this project all grant, and that we don't phase it, because we have the money now, and we try to phase it down the road, we may find ourselves without enough money. So I would move we grant the the project with all grant money.
I'll second from Commissioner Ogden. So the motion before us, made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Ogden, is a $4,531,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
We appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
I love Christmas.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just make note that I'll abstain because I'm not familiar enough with these projects to vote either way. So.
Okay. Thank you.
But you are trainable, right?
I am trainable.
Mr. Chair, we got a meeting to train them. Have you spoken with the commissioner from San Juan, and is there other adjustments we want to make on the agenda in order for him to be able to get to his meetings?
I hadn't heard, so.
You're good?
Okay, let's continue forward. Vernal City, back to our normal agenda here. Vernal City Corporation, invite you up to the table and turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number two on the new projects for this agenda is Vernal City Corporation. It's Main Street, Highway 40, flood control and storm drainage. I'm thinking that Uinta Basin gets a lot of water because this is another flood project. UDOT is contributing $1,200,000 for mitigation of these flood issues. The request to CIB is $1,400,000, $200,000 7-year at 2.5% loan, and a $1,200,000 grant. This is a storm drainage project. It includes replacement of concrete pipe on Highway 40. If you've seen the pictures, very interesting. It's flooding. I found it interesting that in the public hearing it says the pipe decreases in size as it goes downstream. Yeah, it does. Who was the original engineer? So manholes pop off, and this is the least expensive solution. Businesses are concerned. I believe they're utilizing BNC road funds as the revenue source for this.
Great. You want to introduce yourselves, our applicants, and add anything to that description?
Great. Thank you. My name is Doug Hammond. I'm the Vernal City Mayor. I want to appreciate you guys hearing our project. We appreciate what you do for us every year. With me today is Quinn Binion, our city manager, Larry Montoya with UDOT, Mike Davis is our Vernal City Finance Director, and Keith Despain is with CRS Engineering. And I'm going to turn this over to my city manager.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. Just a couple items to add to the introduction. The timing of the project is favorable in some regards and then challenging in another. Favorable because UDOT is participating and has conducted the feasibility study and has committed funds. We are attempting to do this before a major pavement overlay project on Highway 40 through Vernal. The challenging part is our finances. While we do not receive mineral lease money directly to the city, our sales tax, which is our major source of revenue, goes up and down with mineral lease just because that's our economy in the basin. So we have been down in our budgets. We actually run 5 years now in deficit spending in our budget. We're trying to correct that as best we can. So that gives you a little snapshot of why we propose the mix that we do.
Great. Questions from the board? Comments? Mr. Zanotti.
I'm familiar with this project, and I know the scope of the project, and as, of course, you can see the UDOT is behind it and put the money, and it's going to oversee and supervise the construction. So I would like to make a motion to accept as requested.
I'd like to second it.
Okay, the motion's in order. From Mr. Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. That is for a $1,200,000 grant and a $200,000 loan 7 years at 2.5%. Further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes and is funded as requested. Thank you. That was a short
thank
one.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
we may actually end this meeting before noon at that type of a pace. North Emery Water User Special Service District. It's a long name. All right. We'll invite you up to the table. Turn the time over to Candace for a discussion on this one.
Number three on the new projects on today's agenda is North Emery Water User Special Service District, though it's for water system improvements, the North Cleveland Loop Line improvements. Their MAGI is very low. The request is $431,000 total CIB. It's a 50-50 split, $216,000 30-year at 2.5 loan and $215 grant. This project is including the design and construction of 2 miles of 8-inch culinary water line, pressure-reducing valves and vault, 60 feet of boring and casing in connection to existing water lines, and the existing storage tank. CIB funds are for the upgrade that is needed for the Elmo line. North Emery Water Users provides culinary water to unincorporated areas in the northern portion of Emery County. This is a culinary water transmission line to increase supply of water. They are at full capacity right now at 97 connections, and there's not enough distribution capacity to maintain pressure to provide fire protection, additional capacity, and pressure sufficient to accommodate current needs and future growth. The current the Division of Drinking Water has done a review of this application, and it is in your board docs, which shows that their MAGI right now is 1.34%. If this is 100% loan at 2.5% interest, it would bring the MAGI to 1.40.
Okay, we welcome our applicants. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
You bet. My name is Mike McCandless. I'm the chairman of North Emery Water User Special Service District.
And I'm Jared Hansen with Jones and DeMille Engineering, representing the consulting side.
Okay.
Thank you again for the opportunity to present. As discussed, this is a this is actually goes back to our original master plan that we're actually wrapping up from a number of years ago to basically complete a number of the looping systems. Our system was built really as an agricultural line to serve farmers out in the unincorporated portions of Emery County, primarily in 1970 and 71. And so many of these lines that were designed were really not designed to handle, excuse me, anything like fire flows or, frankly, the number of residences. What is interesting also about this area is it's also where we have the highest demand, where we actually have the most requests that we end up having to turn down because you have no more capacity. It is actually the closest area to Carbon County and to Price. And so that is one of the reasons why we actually have a lot more demand, frankly, in this area than other portions of our network. We represent, you know, only about 500 total connections on a couple hundred miles of line. We only serve unincorporated communities, but we have to basically spread ourselves extremely thin. So this project really is just focused to get us in a situation where, frankly, we've not been able to accept new applications in this line for, I think, in most cases, over 10 years. But we've actually had to turn customers who would like to who have property that they would like to develop. We've not been in the position to do so. Plus the fire concerns as well in that far northern portion of our district.
Commissioner Adams.
In light of the fact they're asking for half grant, half loan, I move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Adams and a second from Mr. Zanotti to approve a $215,000 grant and a $216,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. Further discussion of that motion?
Just a question.
Mr. Zanotti.
On this is the existing line, you have 465 people as the residents, but how many connections?
This is a lateral that comes off of this. This is the furthest north lateral of our connection. So we have a main feeder line that comes down Huntington Canyon, and then this is one of the last.
So how many people are you going to? How many connections on this?
This one serves currently about 100. There's about 96 connections in this region currently.
And what is your rate?
Our rate currently, I think it's in there. I think our average rate works at a little over $40.
$43.23.
Are you anticipating to raise the water rate?
We've been increasing rates ever since we were created as a district. We were originally a private company, and we've been consistently working on increasing those rates. I think our last rate raise was we're now 2 years past our last rate raise. We've been consistently working that up about every 2 to 3 years. We've been working towards getting on the MAGI rate
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes. An abstention from Mr. Stevens. That motion passes. Move on to item number four, Centerfield's, oh, they withdrew their application. Sorry. On to the town of Bryanhead. Invite them up to the table. It's good. They made the drive in treacherous conditions one way or the other. Candace, we'll turn some time over to you to brief us on this project.
Number five on the agenda today of new projects is the town of Bryanhead. This is for the Steam Engine Meadows Phase 1 C Street Project. It is to include paved roads. The roads to be completed are Highland Drive, Paddington Circle, Steam Engine Drive, Peak Avenue, and Autumn Drive. Currently, there are no residential structures in the subdivision, but with the current building demand and economic conditions, property owners in the area are seeking solutions for running power and gas to the area to enable building. So this is for an unincorporated area. There are no homes. My question would be, what is the next phase of this project? They're asking for $734,000, 15-year at 2.5%.
Okay. Want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Brett Hauser. I'm the town manager for Bryanhead Town. And just a little bit of additional background on this project. This particular neighborhood was set up as a special assessment area in back in 2007-2008, which was poor timing, and the SAA eventually failed, and a lot of the properties were auctioned off to pay the balance on the loan that existed at that time. So now it's just a collection of different property owners in there, and they're kind of, they've been having a difficult time kind of coming together to finish up the utilities and the streets and this sort of thing. They've approached the town to assist them in trying to bring this about. The town's interest in the project leans more towards fire safety, fire protection, as the neighborhood is on the border of the wildland urban interface. And it's interesting, during our fire a couple summers ago, the neighborhood kind of goes up to a bit of a precipice and dives down into a gully that the firefighters were calling the dragon's mouth at the time, not because it was on fire and spitting out fire, but because if it did catch on fire, that's how the town would be back at risk again. And so we do have some desire to have better access into the area for our fire equipment and have those water lines in better shape. So again, with the SAA that was in place 10 years ago, they did begin putting in water and sewer lines and started roughing in the roads just a little bit, and then the whole thing kind of fell apart. So the project would entail finishing up the water and sewer lines in the neighborhood and then putting in better roads. And Candace, did you have a question for me? I'm not sure I quite caught the...
What is phase two?
Yeah, phase two.
This is phase one. It was called phase one.
I've never heard of an area that was designated as phase two. They split it up into phase one A, B, and C, and I don't...
this is phase one C.
This is the last phase.
Phase one C, yeah. So this is the last phase.
Okay, Commissioner Dalton.
Did I hear Candace say that this is an incorporated area? It's not within Bryanhead?
No, it's within the town.
Okay.
Does the town own the road?
The town owns the road.
Maintains the road. I mean, it's a town road?
You could hardly call it a road at this point, the roads that are roughed in.
Pardon me?
But yeah, they are town right-of-ways.
This is on the northeast corner of Bryanhead?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Up where the few houses that burnt, that's up near where those houses were.
It's just above the house, the cabin that burnt.
To the east?
To the east.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is 100% loan, I'd make the motion.
I'll second it.
Approve it.
Okay. It's an order. Hold on. Let's get the motion, and then we'll invite Bill up to talk to us. So, motion made by Commissioner Dalton, seconded by Commissioner Lytle to approve a $734,000 15-year 2.5% loan. Okay. Mr. Prater, yes. I think he's going to ask us what our revenue source is. It's our bond council, by the way, for those who don't know.
The application indicates that the bond will be payable from a revenue source, but doesn't identify the revenue source. The term 15 years suggests mineral lease, but we need to know what the revenue source to pay the loan.
Do you have an indication of that? What source of funds you're going to use to pay back the loan?
Yeah, so I guess technically we would just be using general fund revenues, call it sales tax or whatever you like. Our hope is that if building occurs in there, the incremental property taxes will be sufficient for us to retire the debt. We're also going to try to work out some kind of a deal with the HOA in there, but the HOA wanted us to meet and see what the terms, what the potential terms were with you guys first before we hash out the final details of a deal with them. But generally speaking, we're pledging general revenue sales tax.
Okay. Bill, can you just swing between Ron and Jack there and turn that mic on?
Okay, for those of you who've been to the tutorial, what's the problem with pledging general
local funds? Government Bonding Act.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which requires that if general funds are pledged, they have to have a bond election.
Yeah.
So if they've got sufficient sales tax, they can do a sales tax without election.
Are you speaking to sales tax?
Yeah, so I guess I meant sales tax specifically.
Okay. Well, that's not what you said. That was
I said general, but I... When I think of general fund revenues in Bryanhead, I'm largely thinking of sales tax, so we would be pledging sales tax.
Great.
And it needs to be clear for your sake.
Yes.
Thank you. Question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Brad, you were supposed to meet with the HOA members back in November. And did you meet and did you have any opportunity to ask him to upfront assessments to pay for the power and the gas?
I did meet with them in November. And that's what I was referring to before. Their position at that point. I laid out to them, hey, we could potentially get funding through CIB. This is what I think the terms would be. Do we want to approach your members and see if they're willing to do a deal where they're paying some money up front for this and putting in the gas and the power at the same time, and perhaps contributing with an assessment to pay it off.
They're going to be the beneficiary.
They said the representatives who were there said that they thought the entire area would be open, or the neighborhood, I guess you would call it, would be open to that. But I wanted a meeting with all the property owners, or at least as many as we could get, and they wanted me to come sit before this board first and see what the terms were before they committed to having that meeting with all the homeowners. Now, we did have a petition about a year ago that was signed by every single property owner in there that was in support of doing a special assessment area or something of the like in order to handle this. But so like I said, we just got to nail down some final details with them. They just wanted me to come sit with you guys first. And initially I thought, well, that's fine. I'll go to the first meeting with CIB, figure out if they're open to it and what the terms are, and then I can nail down the final details before I come for the final funding. But then we ended up getting squished into one meeting here with you guys.
Well, since they're going to be the direct beneficiary of this project, then they should be able to participate by way of assessment or initiate some sort.
That's certainly the town council's hope.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor Baker.
And I'm involved in this kind of thing. We have subdivisions in Naples City all the time. Have you actually acquired the right of way? Is it dedicated and deeded to you?
Yes. It was initially built by a they're town right of ways. I'll spare you all the details, but they're town right of ways.
Well, I'm just in question with that. I usually go through. We usually don't accept or take a road on until it's been built to our standard and accepted. To whatever, and I know you realize this is going to be just a gravel road, not a paved road or anything like that, but I still kind of question, like these lot owners. It seems to me like they're getting a gracious deal.
Mr. Dalton?
I would like to withdraw my motion at this time for further clarification.
Okay. Motion is off the table. Commissioner Lytle?
Do you want the second to concur?
Yes. If that's proper, I can amend it whichever way you want.
No motion, no second. I just am hoping we're playing by Roberts a little
bit.
But we have done.
Okay.
We have done this in the past. The subdivision come before us to ask for the initial money to do those projects, and then of course association has pitched in to pay for the assessments, especially or dues that monthly due. Right. Right. Well, that's what Brad said, that they own the property, right? The right of ways?
Yeah, the right of way.
Okay, let me get my Robert's clarification here from Allison. So our maker of the motion has withdrawn it. Does that require any further action?
No.
No,
that's
okay.
Fine. I just, or do we?
Is there further clarification that is sought at this time?
I will make a motion subject to clarification that the town of Bryanhead owns the property before submitting the money, before approving that.
Question to your motion. You want them to provide documentation that those right-of-ways exist?
That is correct.
Okay, that motion's in order from Mr. Zanotti. That's to approve it as requested with the condition that they prove ownership of the road.
A second.
And a second from Commissioner Lytle. Commissioner Dalton.
Okay, now question. Sorry about that, everybody. The one issue is why I withdrew my motion is when it came back to actual discussion later. If the CIB is going to pay for that road and Bryanhead City is not going to be able to put, or the owners are not going to be able to put in their water, gas lines, and that kind of stuff, that always tears up the new road.
Mm-hmm.
Can we approve it today for a June funding rather than funding it today pending letting Bryanhead City have time to get with the Homeowners Association and find out if they can put in the gas, water, so they're not tearing up brand new roads, and then come back to it and revisit it in June?
So that would be like a motion to put it on the pending list.
Approve it where it's a $734,000 loan, straight loan. Put it on the pending list as approved for pending, subject to specifications of whether they own the road and whether or not they are ready to actually do it, because you don't want to build the road and then have water and gas lines put in there after the fact.
Commissioner Dalton.
So you can also, hold on, you can also put on the priority list for the June funding meeting. That's an option if you wanted to make a motion in that regard.
Yes.
Okay, that would be a substitute motion to place the project, $734,000 loan, 15-year, 2.5% on the priority list for the June funding meeting.
Yes.
Second from Commissioner Ogden. Commissioner Lytle.
Question. On many of the road projects, and I'm new enough that I'll ask the question, I'm not making the statement, but maintenance, and is it you're paying for your loan, but do you have enough funding, and is it stipulated in your thing to be able to cover the maintenance for this in the long run?
We did. We actually just put in a new annual appropriation. Well, we're in the budget that we're currently working on, we're putting in an annual appropriation for gravel roads. We already have an annual appropriation of $200,000 a year to maintain our paved roads, and then we're putting in an additional appropriation for gravel roads as well, and we included all these roads in those master plans.
And it's an HOA in this particular case, but the roads are either deeded or right, that you have the right-of-way or easement of some form for these roads as they exist.
Yeah,
that's your commitment to us.
Yeah.
In your effort to get this money.
And if for some reason I don't, I've been told we do. We currently take care of what infrastructure is there in the road. If I don't, then we'll get it and have that taken care of. And just go through the proper process, even if it takes more time.
Okay. Thank you. And that's my worry.
Yeah, and I think just the clarification, we have to fund public infrastructure only, so we need to secure and make sure that that's owned by a public entity.
Right, we'll get the
chairman.
Thank you.
Yes.
I yield to Commissioner Dalton for better motion. So.
All right. Well, that substitute motion is before us. There's no further discussion. That the motion, the substitute motion before us, is to have a $734,000 15-year loan at 2.5% placed on the priority list for the June funding meeting. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. Okay, so those are the terms that the board's considering, but June will be our time to review this project, make sure we have the ownership. Get some of the clarifications on the other lines that are being sought, and we'll have a further discussion at that time.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Nibley City, invite you up to the table. Candace, briefing on this.
Item number six on the new projects discussion. Today's agenda is Nibley City. It's for a water master plan update. The request to CIB is $30,000 in grant funding. Nibley City has $30,000 in cash. The most current edition of the Nibley City Water Master Plan was done in 2012. Nibley City has experienced growth and capital improvements. So a 16-inch water line, a culinary well capable of producing 1,800 to 3,100 GPM, 3 miles of 18, 12-inch transmission lines, SCADA upgrades, a pressure-reducing station. These are things that have occurred. They need a water master plan now to accommodate this. Nibley City is providing 50% of the cost of the planning project from water department funds.
Great. You want to introduce yourselves for us?
Yes. Thank you, Marty and board members. My name is David Zook. I'm the city manager with Nibley City, and I have with me today Justin Maughan, our public works director, and Stephen Nelson, our city planner. Our mayor sends his regrets. He had to travel out of town for business today. But as Candace mentioned, we would like to update our water master plan. It's been over 7 years since it was updated, and we've grown very rapidly in that time. We've increased in population probably about 35% since then. And we've also lost one of our water sources and added a new one to replace that. So we have actually done a request for proposals already. We've received 3 bids. We're in the process of reviewing them right now. We haven't selected a consultant yet. But the price range is in the $50,000 to $60,000 range. It most likely will be very close to the budget that we submitted in our application, approximately $60,000. And we are providing half of the planning match to that in cash from our water department. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have today.
To the board for questions. Senator Winterton.
I'd make a motion that we approve this as been presented.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Motion made by Senator Winterton and a second from Treasurer Damption to approve a $30,000 grant. Discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens. Okay, that motion passes. That is approved. $30,000 grant.
Thank you. May I ask just a clarification question? Will this move us to the priority project list later today? Or
funded. You're already funded.
You're
this
ready.
Is a funding okay. meeting, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, yep. You're in.
Okay, Town of Holden, invite you up at this time. This was on our pending list and is now off the pending list to be considered. So we've had a discussion on this in July. Mm-hmm. Everybody can remember that vividly, right, in their minds. So, Candace, you want to give us a quick brief on this?
Yeah, the minutes are in your board docs, but just a synopsis, the cliff notes are the town of Holden came before the board in July for these 2019 road improvements. Their request was the $311,000 grant. At the time, after a lengthy discussion, it was disclosed that the project would not really be being accommodated until this spring. The board's funding was limited, and so graciously the applicant and the board made a decision to place this on the pending list for a later funding date. This is that later funding date. They're here to discuss the project. The questions that I would ask is if it's still, you know, the parameters are still the same, if the funding is in place, if this looks like it's going to proceed at this cost. The amount is, again, $311,000, and the applicant is not contributing any cash.
All right. You want to reintroduce yourselves and this project to the board?
I'm Ryan Savage with Savage Albrecht Engineering.
Brian Stevenson from Holden Town.
Rod Dastrup from Holden Town and the maintenance supervisor.
Okay. We've already had this project before us, but questions from the board?
I make a motion to approve, Mr. Chairman. We have heard all we could hear from Rod last time. He had a great detail. So I don't know why he traveled here, but thank you for being here.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, a motion by Mr. Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Lytle, to approve a $311,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton.
Since I was not on the board at that time, just a question. This is looks like it's going to chip seal most of your roads in Holden. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Then you will have a fund balance building up so that you can maintain them from then on.
Yes.
So this is just a one-time ask, not every seven-year ask when it's time to rechip them.
Unless you want to do it every year. No, the Class B and C roads after it's done.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. That's the only question I had. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And abstentions, Mr. Stevens. That motion passes. That is approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a project that requires special consideration on the agenda. This requires a vote from the board.
So moved.
A motion from Mr. Zanotti to consider Rockville Springdale Special Service District.
Second.
And a second from Commissioner Dalton. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that project is before us. We'll invite Rockville Springdale Special Service District to the table at this time. Candace, can you give us a description on this one? This, I think, is a pretty simple one.
Yeah, it is. This is the board authorized the funding for a fire engine back in October of 2017 as a $405,000 total CIB request. It was a half grant, half loan, 20-year at 2.5%. At that time, I think Rockville Springdale was accommodated into Hurricane Valley Fire. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right?
We contractually provide the services. The board is still in existence.
Okay. The person or the entity that should receive the funding is now Washington County Municipal Building Authority because they are the ones that will own the truck, have bought the truck, and so they just need reauthorization of the funding that the board awarded to change the entity from Rockville Springdale to Washington MBA.
Correct, and saving the cost of having Rockville Springdale produce their own municipal building authority.
Would you accept a motion?
I would.
I'll make a motion to
second.
Move forward.
Okay. So the motion by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Mr. Zanotti, is to change the applicant to the Washington County Municipal Building Authority. Do I have that correct?
That would be my motion.
Okay. Further discussion of that motion?
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti didn't even know what the motion was.
I did.
The motion could have been the board will now strip naked and run around the room.
The minute Candace started reading, I knew what the motion was.
Would you like me to clarify the motion?
The race was to make the motion, not the second.
One thing I wanted to ask the chief to see if he wants anything else while you're here.
Well, as generous as you are today, if you open up your books, I'll...
Just kidding.
It should be noted that he flew in on an airplane yesterday, and you know what the weather was like.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And we eventually stopped on the runway, so I...
Thank you for your presence.
Okay, that motion is before us to change the applicant and recipient of the award to Washington County Municipal Building Authority. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. Okay, that is approved. Thank you very much. Yeah, let's take a 10-minute break. Reconvene just after 10 o'clock to hit the rest of the agenda. Thank you.
I don't know about that.
I see his picture everywhere.
Yeah.
He's got a big head.
Mark. Mark Anderson. Oh, he's your new guy.
Oh. I was like, there's not many people that read the Bonfire.
What do you think? Yeah. That's not like
that. Do that.
It's not lively reading, is what you're saying?
Not unless you're in the municipal bonds. That's all it's about. Well, there's some other public finance and stuff, but.
Okay. All right. We will get back to our business. These are the priority projects, so we have already reviewed them. Typically, we wouldn't have them come up unless there's questions. So we will start going through this. Our first one is Richfield City. They're on the priority list for a $2,025,000 grant, $2,025,000 loan, 10 years at 2.5%. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And seconded by Commissioner Dalton. So that was made by Mr. Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Dalton. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstaining? Mr. Stevens and Commissioner Ogden's absent for that vote. That motion passes. East Carbon City, $80,000 grant. Is that correct, Candace?
Yes.
Okay. $80,000 grant. Is there a motion to approve? Nope. So moved by Senator Winterton.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Lytle. I'll just give it to him. So, further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions. Mr. Stevens abstains. That is approved. San Juan County Local Building Authority.
Make the motion to approve.
Second.
This is for a $755,000 grant, $905,000 10-year loan at 2.5%. The motion to approve by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Treasurer Damschen. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. We already did the UNA Transportation Special Service District, so our next project is Castle Valley Special Service District. $850,000 grant, $848,000, 2.5%, 6-year loan.
So moved.
Motion to approve by Mr. Zanotti. Okay. Seconded by Commissioner Ogden. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Opposed.
Abstaining? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. San Pete County, $116,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Senator Winterton. Second by Commissioner Ogden. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. Town of Wales, $104,000, 20-year, 2.5% loan, $500,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Senator Winterton.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zanotti. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. Bryce Canyon City, we'll invite them up to the table this time. I think they have a supplemental request to their original approval. And we'll turn the time over to Candace for a brief description.
Number 8 on the priority projects is Bryce Canyon City. This is for the Community Recreation Center. If you'll recall, this is for accommodating or constructing an 11,840 square foot facility for a weightlifting room, gymnasium, etc. It will have restrooms and mechanical spaces for the community events. The request, original request that the board put on the priority list was a $1,530,000 total CIB request, of which there was a $1,071,030 year at 2.5% loan and a $459,000 grant. Subsequently, the project was bid and the bids came in high. The applicant's suggested supplemental funding request is under the same percentages as the previous board award was, which was $1 million, which would be for the $150,000 extra dollars they need, $1,176,000 loan, 30-year at 2.5, and $504,000 grant. That is their hope, with a CIB total of $1,680,000. If the $150,000 supplemental is added to the loan, the amount would be $1,221,000 loan and the existing $459,000 grant. I defer to the board.
Let's go to the board with any questions for the applicant on this.
Well, I'd like to revisit this all together. I mean, we jumped, and I'm more in favor of giving them 100% loan, and I have a hard time because wanting to be charitable, but I don't see that this project falls into the category of the Mineral Leasing Act at all. It states for areas that are socially or economically impacted directly or indirectly by mineral resource development. We have lots of money to loan, but let's leave the money for grant for those priorities. And so I would make the motion that we just make this 100%, 2.5% loan at 30%,
so
for 30 years.
Okay, that would be a $1,680,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%. Is that correct?
Correct?
Senator Winterton, that motion's in order.
I'll second that.
And a second from Mayor Baker. Further discussion to that motion? Yes, our applicant wants to weigh in on this discussion. Sure. Yeah, make sure you introduce yourself into the microphone.
So Marcus Keller, financial advisor to Bryce Canyon City, here with
Mayor Seiler
and Gene Seiler.
So based on this additional portion, the above costs, we're happy to take all loan. We just didn't know if it was orthodox to take on the $150,000 as, you know, present it back to the board as the terms presented. We talked to within each other to take on the whole loan as the applicant, though, with the outstanding sales tax bonds currently with the CIB board, it would be pretty stressful for the city based on their debt service coverage as well as a few other things that are in motion. So it would be our offer to just say we would be more than happy to take the $150,000 supplemental request as all loan portion to kind of ease some of the tension of the board and try to, I guess, make things as whole as possible. So,
Mr. Lytle.
Part of the difficulty here is and the discernment process is the difference between needs and wants. How does this work?
What was the question? What?
How are you prioritizing this in terms of needs and wants? I realize the fire truck parts of it and the different things that you built into the project, but where does this fit into needs and wants and your priorities?
Well, currently, in the past, you know, we're purchasing a fire truck right now out of, you know, of our general funds. We haven't sought any loans on that. In the last few years, we haven't asked for any money. We haven't taken on any new loans. We just funded everything out of pocket. You know, it's just a little bit more than, you know, some of the other things that we've done, and so we just had a lot of requests from the public, the citizens, and using the facility we have now, and we'd like to get it out. And so,
do you have participation from your significant employers in this?
Yes, actually, the land's being given it's been given to Bryce Canyon City.
Thank you.
I think when you're referring to the needs versus want community recreation center, if this is the title of the project, that's different than a sewer system or a water system.
I understand that. Yeah.
Okay. Or fire building,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, right.
And I realize there's some mix and match.
Mr. Ogden.
I realize we have funded things like this in the past, so I would make a substitute motion that we do what we did with the original application, but the additional, take that all on as a loan.
So that would be a $1,221,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $459,000 grant.
Second.
And that's seconded by Commissioner Dalton. So that substitute motion is in order. Further discussion to that motion?
I have questions.
Mr. Zanotti.
Have you approached the other entities in the state? This is kind of like a tourism projects rather than being the want or needed project. Anything?
I haven't. I'm just not familiar with anything out there, but I haven't right now. No.
What are you talking about, like a tourism grant or some kind of economic development at this point? To the best of our knowledge, we haven't approached anything at this point to see if there's additional grant funding available. It wouldn't be, I don't think, for tourists. I think it's for the community of Bryce Canyon City to help, even though they are considered a tourist area, there are residents there that would need and benefit from this facility. It's not strictly something to bring in tourism or to help for them, but maybe there is something available since they would be labeled that we haven't gone down that avenue.
Just recently, that we have 2 years ago, the Senate passed the Senate bill that was recreation hotspots funding. In that, well, we had four areas got designated. Bryce Canyon could be on the fourth or fifth category for that purpose. So I'm wondering that if you have approached anyone to help you with that.
I could maybe speak to that a little bit. We have been investigating the outdoor recreation grants. I think that's the same one you're describing. We've gotten involved with them, but their parameters are pretty focused on outdoor recreation. And this is an enclosed structure, which they said they probably would not be interested in talking to us about in our preliminary work. They want things that are getting people out into the outdoors. And Bryce Canyon City is experiencing quite a bit of growth, more year-round residents than, I mean, we're growing. And there's not a lot to do when you're 90 miles from Cedar City, the other town. So we're trying to create an opportunity for some of these people to stay healthy during the winters when things slow right down. It's a need that I don't know how else to address. We're not aware of any other funding, though, that would help us on this kind of a project.
Okay. Mr. Dalton?
Would you describe this as a quality of life enhancement?
Definitely. Like I said, and I told last time I came in here that a lot of the residents, we upgraded our park over the last couple of years, and it's used a lot in the summer. Every night you'll find 20 to 30 kids out there using it, but in the winter it's just too cold to go out, obviously, with the snow.
May I continue?
Yes.
I just know that in economic development and growth and stuff like that, to get the people to live where they work, you need to have quality of life improvements. And this seems like to me that it would fit in that category.
It definitely is. In the surrounding communities, if you're familiar with Bryce, Panguitch, Tropic, Cannonville, Henryville, and Escalante, we have people coming from an hour away to use our facility that we have right now. They just don't have the access to public schools.
But you didn't say this was an economic development project.
No.
Good.
Thank you for clarifying. Seeing no further questions, we'll place that substitute motion before us. That is for a $1,221,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $459,000 grant. Those in favor of the motion, raise your hands. Commissioner Dalton, Commissioner Ogden, Treasurer Damschen, and Mr. Zanotti. Opposed to that motion? Senator Winterton, Commissioner Lytle, Mayor Baker. Abstaining? Mr. Stevens. That motion passes. That is for the $1,221,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $459,000 grant.
Thank you.
Also from Bryce Canyon City is the next project is a $20,000 grant for a general plan update.
Motion to approve.
A motion to approve by Senator Winterton.
Second.
A second from Mr. Zanotti. Further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstaining? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. Town of Tropic, $11,000 grant.
So moved.
Commissioner Dalton.
I'll second.
And a second from Commissioner Lytle. Further discussion? That's for an $11,000 grant. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstaining? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. Tooele City Municipal Building Authority, $9 million, 30-year loan at 2.5%.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Approve it.
Motion to approve from Commissioner Ogden, second from Senator Winterton. further discussion of that motion? We did not fund that one already.
Well, because where it was a 100% loan, I thought that the motion was that...
We did not suspend and fund.
Oh, did we?
Okay. We did not.
All right.
All in favor of that motion? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstaining? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. Daggett County Service Area, number one, $227,000 grant.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Senator Winterton, seconded by Commissioner Ogden. Further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstaining? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. Wayne County, $90,000 grant.
I'll make that motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Commissioner Lytle, second from Mr. Zanotti. Further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstaining? Mr. Stevens abstains. That motion passes. The Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. Now, I want to, I'll invite them up at the table this time. I want to clarify, we've had some back and forth on getting this straightened here. What was approved at the November meeting to be put on the priority list was a $3 million grant in 4-year phases. So I know it says $750 in some areas and $3 million on the financial review. The approval on the to the priority list was a $3 million grant in four $750,000 increments. Now, the one thing that we were tasked to do was to work with Seven County on some contract language related to ownership of the work product and also attorney's fees. And we'll invite Seven County Infrastructure Coalition if they want to come up to the table this time to make some comment on this. I know that Allison provided that language last week.
Is it in English?
That's the review stuff. So, I don't recall having received any direct feedback back. So, correct. So maybe this is your time to comment on those particular issues, since that was our assignment to work on those two issues. Yes. So, please introduce yourself.
Thank you. Director McKay, Seven County Coalition.
Brian Barton with Jones and Mill.
Eric Johnson with Playsdale Church and Jones.
Did you have comments on the
yes.
proposed language?
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that and appreciate, I know there's a lot of work that was done down in Moab, and so I think this really has to do with just the language. And for the most part, I think we're good. There's a couple items, though, that we did want to that we do want to touch base on. And this will take just a moment, but if we go back to the, and this is just a little bit of background as to one of the issues that's here. If you go back to the background of the origination of even the very first contract and even the scope of work that we have before us that goes before here. In 2017, it says we were to identify, administer, plan, procure the funding, permit, secure right-of-ways, own, I think that's a key word there, own, and operate revenue-producing assets. And then it says not limited to certain things, which this doesn't limit us to administration, technical support, environmental studies, transportation studies, petroleum and mineral extraction, industries, studies, and the like. So I think the couple items that we would like to touch base with the board about and with you, Mr. Chairman, would be in the contract that has been presented to us, there is a difference compared to what is there and what would be in the contract. In the contract, it would say that the state of Utah and the CIB would own all of that, which would be not only a huge departure from what our contract and what we were set up, but also with other grants that are given for other studies and for what we do around the state. One of the things that we feel like might be a good compromise, because I know this will come up, before I was appointed as the executive director, there was a study that some funding was realized from. And in this contract that is here is that there would not be any sell of studies or any of those kind of things. And if it make the staff and board more comfortable, if we could even put 7 County or we put State of Utah / 7 County on there, I think our board is even willing to do that. But I think as we move forward with what we're doing as a 7 County coalition, for us to be effective, if we don't have any ownership or anything towards that, I think that is so different than the very things that we were set up to do. I believe that there's maybe a good way to find something there that I would hope should work for everybody. If we recognize that there's a significant amount of money that's come from the state, we recognize that, we appreciate it. I just feel like that maybe that would be a way of if we want to put the state of Utah / DWS / 7 County on ownership, none of this is sold or any of those kind of things, we're good with that. We just would like our name to be put on that. So that would be the one point that would make there. Another item that I would just appeal to the board on, and this has to do with, and we really haven't had a chance to talk about this, so I don't think this should be a challenge here, but it's the second to last line here. It says, the SEI shall coordinate with CIB and obtain CIB staff approval before any funds are expended on legislative matters. And I realize that's something that could be really kind of a technical kind of thing, but let me just give an example why I'm struggling with that just a little bit. I'm on Governor's Energy Advisory Council. I'm on the several of the boards that the governor's appointed me to. And in those meetings, they do discuss various legislative matters. But I think if we could change that, at least not any direct funds, instead of any funds, just any direct funds, just a little technicality, because I think if we're being really technical, somebody could say, well, even traveling out to the meeting, that could be an expense. So I think just a little tweak there, if you'd be willing to do that as well. And then the third item has to do with the discussion, and this might be more controversial. I think those other two probably wouldn't be. Hopefully this one wouldn't be either, but it's reimbursement for legal when there has been some different opinion relating to CIB and 7 County, not CIB, but anyway, Eric, you have looked at just a little bit. Would you just comment on that? We won't take much time up, but those would be the three points that I would like to just appeal to the board for consideration.
Sure, thank you. And this goes to restricting the coalition when it comes to presenting legal analysis to the board. This board is primarily a political body, okay? And you, every meeting, make political decisions. And
That's just what you're here to do. And when each applicant comes before you, just as an example of how that works, I've seen various times when an applicant has not been here, and the board has said, you know what, we'll wait until they're here so we can listen to them before we make a decision. We'll postpone making a decision. That's just an example of the political nature of the board and how you you know, keep the door open to hear from everybody. This here is basically contractually saying, you know what, we're going to close the door to certain voices. There are certain voices that will not be allowed within this political arena. Okay, I'm not really sure why that's being proposed. For a variety of clients before the Community Impact Board, I have been asked to present a legal analysis from time to time on certain issues that come up. And that has been true when I'm representing the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. In fact, I have been invited by the Attorney General's office in writing to provide legal analysis. Now, at least one member of this board has rebuked me for providing that legal analysis, even though it was invited, but I did it anyway. Okay, and I think in the political process, it's important that you hear that because the law dealing with mineral lease funds that the Community Impact Board administers is not exceptionally well developed. There are some areas of uncertainty, and your counsel is wise to advise you when a matter may be within those areas of uncertainty. Okay, but it also is helpful if there are other vantage points that are also brought forward in making your determination. I would couch that the legal analysis that I've always provided to this board for the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition have always been in favor of the discretion of this board to make a decision. Okay? And that has consistently been my position. This board, as a public policy-making board, has discretion. When there are areas of uncertainty, when there are unknowns, then it falls to this board to weigh those and make a decision, and you'll want to get as much input and feedback in making that decision as you can. And basically, that's what this contractual provision would limit. And I'm uncertain why this board would want to limit the input that it receives in making important funding decisions. Let me add one other point before I hand the mic back. I've just explained why I feel that the contractual provision is basically unwise, but also there is an unconstitutional question about it. It has been held in federal court that funding decisions, that a free speech right cannot be made dependent on, funding cannot be dependent on the right of free speech. In other words, the right to be heard on a particular matter. And so there's a real question here that if you're making your funding decision saying, okay, we're going to fund this, but only if certain rights of speech are restricted in the public process, there's a question there as to whether that's constitutional.
So with that, appreciate Mr. Hardy and the staff and everybody, the work that's gone through that. We're in agreement with the contract, with except for those three items. We would ask that those three items, if I can just mention those again, on the aspect of the legislative matters. I think if we could even just instead of take out the word any, use the word direct. And I think we've worked well on this in the past. We've correlated on this issue. So I just want to be fully honest in what I'm doing. And if that goes the way that it is, I would find myself feeling like that I need to potentially resign from boards that I've been appointed to by the governor. One I just recently was
as it relates to energy matters. So I would just ask that, and then you know, the legal matter that we had just mentioned, and also the other item that I'd mentioned on the ownership.
Okay.
And I think on the ownership again, you know, I do believe a compromise. You know, I don't know of any other entity that you've ever, you know, as far as, you know, the public body applicants coming forward, that whatever study, whatever it is, work product that you're doing, that you have required the state of Utah to be owners of that product. And so I think if we could, I'm not, you know, our board was hoping we didn't have to do that. I might be speaking out a little beyond that, but I think in a compromise, if the state of Utah name was on there, our names as well, at least our name being on there as part of what we're doing would seem appropriate.
Before we go to some comment, I just want to give some background, since some of you may be a little bit new to this discussion. But back in our November meeting, when we were discussing this particular project, there were two issues that were brought up. So on behalf of the board, those are the issues that we've tried to work out some language on. The first one was cost of attorney fees. We've talked about this a lot over the course of the years. It's been a concern of the board. So the language that was proposed, it allows the staff to reject billings of legal fees that are basically arguing with our own attorney. So we're paying for both sides of the issue. This is kind of the crux of the argument there. So we pay the Attorney General's office to provide counsel to this board, and I will contend that we're not limiting anything. You can do anything you want with any other funds. You know, you can have legal counsel, you can have those types of conversations, but all the provision the contract says is we're not going to spend funds out of this contract to argue with our own attorney. That was one of the issues. It also put a proposed cap on it of legal fees out of the contract of $100,000. This is a general administrative contract. This is separate and apart from any project-level contract, which also would include legal fees. And I think we've executed, I don't know if you've signed it, but the rail contract that was approved, for example, has legal fees in there. So those things can be, you know, dealt with in on a project-by-project basis. So this is just in the general administrative contract. So that is the one provision. The second one, again, is the rights of the intellectual property that's created. I will say that this issue is coming up because this is a project that it's funding an entity. It's something the board really doesn't do. We do fund studies. You know, typically these are 50-50 matches from the community, so they have skin in the game on this. And really, the board has been the only game in town for a lot of this. And then, again, on a project-by-project basis, that could be dealt with. If there's other funding, you know, there don't have to be provisions like this. This is just on the general administrative funding. It is something that came up in the rail contract as well, on how to advance that forward, knowing that this board is the sole funder on behalf of the state of Utah of that particular project. So those are the two things that we worked on. I think we can work on the legislative one. That wasn't an assignment of the board, but that's something we can kind of take a look at. But I'm going to, we'll start with treasurer redemption, but we'll open up the board for some discussion on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You made the point already, but the coalition is unlike any other entity that comes before this board, obviously. That can't be ignored, Mr. McKee. We pay your salary. We fund your administrative expenses entirely. You have no other significant source of income. We pay your counsel. We pay everything. You're a child of the CIB board. You're a child of the state. You're not like any other entity that comes before us. So the other thing is, in terms of constitutional issues, I have an issue with our state constitution, possibly. To the extent that you are working, you're fully funded by the CIB, our only legitimate counsel is the attorney general. And in no other place, I'm on 20 boards and commissions, nowhere else within the state is it acceptable or legal to violate the Attorney General's prerogative by hiring outside counsel without approval of the Attorney General. And that this board's been turning a blind eye to that for quite some time. Your appointment, Mr. Johnson, your appointment, if done properly, if you look at the funding mechanism and if you look at the fact that you're really a 100% subsidiary of the CIB board, your appointment should be made directly by the Office of Attorney General per the Utah Constitution. So there are a lot of differences between your organization and others that come before us, and those differences can't be ignored. So.
Commissioner Lytle.
I appreciate, with respect.
Can you pull the mic down?
Sorry. Treasurer Dampson, with respect. I'm not a lawyer, won't give you legal advice. But as a political subdivision, we fund many political subdivisions or projects within them. I think there's a line from my less than nimble brain that even if the funding, once we've transferred it to another subdivision, I'm not sure I would not want to hear more from the Attorney General on how much control we actually have once that political subdivision takes on the funding, short of why we have a contract and an agreed-upon contract. I'm not challenging your premise outright, just I would like more depth from the Attorney General's office on that subject.
Allison, sounds like people want you to weigh in, so...
Sure.
Sorry. I'll answer Mr. Lytle's question first. I think for each project that's funded, where this board funds projects generally, also studies, but I'm not aware of any other entity that this board funds 100% besides the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. So when this board approves funding for a specific project, for a grant, let's say, that entity submits receipts, and the staff approves whether those receipts are consistent with the scope of work and with the contract. If a road is approved, that entity were to submit a receipt for, I don't know, a human resources employee, that expense would be rejected. The receipts and project work has to be consistent with what has been approved.
And state procurement.
Yes. So does that answer your question there?
To the degree that you're speaking to the contract, the fact that it's still a political subdivision within the state of Utah doesn't answer the question to me that Treasurer Dampson has brought up.
Pardon me?
Thank you.
In terms of, I think that there's a right to have that conversation relative to the contract. I'm the first one to say that this is what CIB has created with Seven County or approved to fund is an anomaly to its own. But there's the value side of that as well, but we have to be diligent on how we are careful how that money's spent. But I am very concerned that we're trying to apply, again, the orange to the apple type of thing. As a political subdivision, I think it still has some standing in terms of some of the choices it makes within the contract. So I'm not challenging the fact that there's a difference, that there may be differences of opinion on how the money is spent, but it all has to be within state procurement or the contract. And what I hear the Seven Counties speaking to is some more negotiation to the contract. Without questioning what you're saying as far as, yes, I'll be the first to say it's an anomaly, but I think it's one that we, as a board, as its creation has occurred, and I'll speak also as being a member of that board for disclosure's sake, it's a big deal to wrap our mind around to figure out how to make this work. And I appreciate the dedication that's been put into making sure we do it right. And thank you for the comments from the Treasurer as well as the Attorney General's office.
So I'll just follow up on that and say that, yes, an entity has some discretion within the terms of the contract, within the terms of say, procurement code and other statutes to perform the project or to complete the project in the ways that it chooses. Yes, that exists. Can I address the attorney's fees issue? I want to read
yes.
the language that we've proposed just so that everyone is
okay.
clear
Thank
on
you.
What we're talking about. It states, the state and the Department of Workforce Services reserve the right to refuse reimbursement to grantee for attorney time spent communicating with counsel for the CIB or time spent on administrative tasks. The state and DWS shall not reimburse grantee for legal expenses in excess of $100,000 cumulatively over the term of this contract. So this first sentence, I think Mr. Johnson was stating that he believes that this forecloses or limits voices. And that's not the intent of this in any way. It's simply that the state is not going to pay for that type of legal work, or at least reserves the right to not pay for that type of legal work. If the coalition wants to find another method to pay for that time, that's absolutely possible. It's not, that opportunity is not foreclosed to the coalition. And in terms of the intellectual property issue, I think Mr. McKee mentioned that this provision would hinder or hurt the coalition's ability to do business, but I'd like to hear more about why that is. I don't think that some of the members here follow that argument.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Allison. I think our deeper point is if we look at when we were set up, when all this was put together, it was and still says to own and to find and to come up with revenue producing projects. It's recognized that the resources in eastern Utah, you know, those natural resources are diminishing resources. The intent from the very beginning was to be able to enhance actually what happens here at CIB, and to be able to do that in a form that would be legal and appropriate and all those kind of things. You know, Allison, I don't think it's fair to say that we would not be able to continue in our work, but I think there's a difference between when we're out advocating and saying this is Seven County compared to, you know, a cousin that we're advocating as we're moving forward with these different projects. But it seems to me I do not see the downside. And I wanted to just add one thing to this. When we had our Seven County Coalition Board, this language showed up in the contract for the rail, and our board struggled with that. We have our board chairman, Brad Horrocks, is here, and our board has tried and want to be, you know, we want to be very accommodating. We want to do the right things. What we did on the rail, we heard what was said there. Our board honestly disagreed with that language that would say that the state solely own it. We felt like our name ought to be on that. But we contacted the chairs. They agreed with the to go ahead and sign the rail contract. So the state of Utah and DWS will fully own that study. But I think this here is a little bit different, and that's what I would like to appeal to the board here on. This is our operations. This is what we're doing in our day-to-day activities. And again, I think even with that, if the state of Utah had their name on it, I would appeal to the board to say, let's go ahead and at least let Seven County's name be on the day-to-day operational aspects of what we do day-to-day. We have agreed and do have the contract in the car. Commissioner Horrocks has signed that. We will be signing that contract on the rail, but we would appeal to at least allow our name to be on this along with the state.
So our intent with, again, getting this is phase two. Like we have the original contract. I think we learned some things in that original contract and what worked, what didn't work. One thing that was consistently brought up on that first contract, which was really a lot of the inventory of the infrastructures throughout the state, kind of setting the platform for where projects were moving forward, was the availability of that information in the public domain and who controlled that information. And it's housed on the 7-county site, and they have different levels of permissions that can be accessed. I don't disagree with any of that, but that is one of the issues, like a philosophical issue of whether if this board, you know, this board serves the interests of the entire state. I don't think that can be understated. And so we need to decide philosophically, you know, what we're trying to produce here from a public perspective. So in the case of the original project, you know, this disclosure of public information or who gets to make that decision, that came up a lot. And I mean, we've had these guys before us probably a dozen times, and we've hashed over a lot of these same issues. You know, the purpose of trying to get to an agreement on a contract is so we don't have to rehash these issues every time we're together or have difficulties when we're deciding whether to pay things or how things are structured. And that has been a very difficult thing for the last couple of years, not just for our staff, but for the coalition as well. I mean, I think we would all say we'd rather have one contract that everybody agrees on. The bills come in, they get paid, and just like any other project, it moves pretty smoothly. And we're trying to avoid the bumps in the road on a few of these points that have come up over and over again. So this is why, I mean, I think our intent was to hopefully have the negotiation done on this language rather than trying to do it in the board meeting. This is why we proposed it last week. But this is the, you know, this is our feedback session here if we want to get this, the funding decision approved on this particular project on the priority list. Senator Winterton?
Yeah, it sounds to me like we need some legislation to clean this up. But I have a question, and maybe it's geared more to Allison, but we have never as a board put stipulations in contracts to the point that we are dictating the outcome. I think that if you look at the liability status of it, if we go down this road with this entity, are we going to do it with the rest of them? Because it seems to me like we're now, or the CIB board wants to take control or dictate what happens to this entity, which is no different than an MBA or special service district. They are totally separate from the entity that created them. And so if we're going down that road, we need to hold the board's feet to the fire, that everybody that comes in here will be able to be held to the same standard, that we're going to own the product or take on the liability for that product. And, you know, deed and title ownership of a work project is the entity that is actually doing it. They're the ones in the trenches. We have so many projects in the state that are grant money that are a lot bigger than this, that they're not requiring this kind of stuff. So I need to know from Allison, are we going down this road? Because I think we're sticking our necks out here. We're paying for a lot of attorney's fee for opinions. It goes on in the federal government against the counties, the state, all of the time. And NGOs get to appeal and get that from the federal government so that they can turn around and sue us for the very thing that we're doing. And that's what's happening here. It's got to stop. Let's get on the same page. As far as administration, yes, we have financed this from the get-go. It is a unique entity, but this board alone operates administration-wise, pays its bill out of mineral lease money. I don't know why it's a hard concept for people to understand. It has been done. And now we're saying, well, for anybody else, it's not allowable. So I think that there will be administrative changes coming that will help us define this role better, because, well, as you said, we're looking out for the whole state. But if we're going to pick on one entity, that's going to be the standard for the rest of the state to live by.
Awesome.
So I would say, repeat what I said earlier, that this entity is unique. You just said it, Mr. Winterton. This is the only entity that I'm aware of that the CIB funds 100%. Studies, your CIB rules say planning, grants, and studies normally require a 50% cash contribution by the applicant. That's what normally happens. I think it's what happens almost without exception here. Here's the exception. So that is a difference between most applicants and this one. Another difference is that I'm not aware of CIB paying legal fees for any applicant outside of bond counsel. Normally, applicants, their county attorney, their town attorney, you know, they receive legal...
Special service districts have their own attorneys, which is separate, so that's a cost to them. So
right.
It is going on. It's maybe not to the extent that we see here.
But as far as I'm aware, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, the CIB does not reimburse those legal expenses. The special service district, the building authority, whatever the applicant is, that's paid out of their funds, not... It's not an expense submitted to the Community Impact Board.
Closing costs are.
Right.
Because
there's bond counsel.
And that is
for
usually,
bond counsel,
isn't
yes,
that
I
usually
that.
An attorney?
Yes, but I said except for bond counsel. Yes, look, yes, closing costs for loans, including bond counsel, the CIB does generally pay for that. But we're not talking about that here. This is a grant. And so as far as I'm aware, grants, the CIB does not reimburse legal expenses for grants.
Okay.
Normally or maybe ever.
I do.
So those are two key differences here just to help answer
okay,
your question.
Okay, but you go back to grants and if there's match, so does there need to be an appropriation from the legislature to match this? Is that what we're saying here? The state's going to appropriate money to match money that comes from mineral lease. Is that what needs to happen?
I don't think that's a legal question, Allison, but I think that is a conversation that's been here in the past is whether, you know, a lot of these are very large projects that, you know, to move forward probably does require, you know, some legislative involvement and appropriation. And I think you got some money from the legislature last year for a specific project
and
through
fact,
UDOT. Is that
Jonathan, if I could mention that, because I think this is a key point that goes to this very thing, because we're not talking rail here. We're talking this $3 million appropriation. And, again, the information that came back from staff is the staff is considering has accepted the $3.2 million appropriation we received from UDOT as match for this funding. And so I know we hear a lot that, you know, this is like 100% money coming from CIB, and we greatly appreciate CIB. Don't want to say anything different than that. But CIB has recognized the $3.2 million as a match for this grant.
And I do want to address one thing that you brought up, Senator Winterton, about who's doing the work in the trenches. And I fully acknowledge that it is not the state doing this work, but a lot of this work is being done by Jones and DeMille and HDR, and they don't own that product either. You know, they can't go and use that information however they want. It's a matter of who's paying the bills and what are the terms and conditions we're willing to accept in that state. You know, in the instance of the rail, and what has been brought up prior is, you know, this whole issue of ownership. Who gets to make that decision? If we're paying all the bills on it, you know, who gets to make that decision? That's really what this boils down to. We think we've had a good relationship with the coalition as far as moving projects forward. You know, how we envision, I mean, the mission of the coalition, I'll just use the rail as an example. I mean, I think they fully anticipate submitting and getting funding to do the rail, which would be outside of this board, and they would want to own it, you know, and that's totally fine. I mean, that's a decision we can make when we get to that project point, and I think that's kind of what we're trying to structure in this administrative contract is really to identify and take a look at the issues of what needs to get advanced to the project phase. I mean, that's kind of how we viewed it, and when we get to the project phase, we expect an application, just like we would with the rail study, of something more specific that could be dealt with, whether there's other funding coming in or, you know, however the ownership's proposed at that project level. And I don't think anything that has been proposed is preventing us from doing that. And so you know, these are just the things we're struggling with. I mean, you can see that there's tension, but we're trying to get this solved now rather than have this source of tension for 4 years under this administrative contract is really what we're talking about. So, you know, this is, you know, I'm hoping we can get, you know, to the same page. Again, I was hoping it would happen before this meeting, but, you know, clearly we're not quite there yet on the link. I haven't heard any, you know, I've heard just disagreement with the terms. I haven't heard anything, you know, other. We heard a proposed term to the joint ownership, but that ownership issue has been an issue that has come up in the past, and we're trying to avoid that.
Mr. Chairman, I have an idea, and could we maybe break this down a little bit and maybe make it easier? And Coalition, we appreciate you, Jonathan. We appreciate the staff. We appreciate each member here, and we know, having sat on this board myself, the weighty decisions that you make, and I know that you're all doing the decisions you believe to do the very best that you can with that. But I guess what I would like to ask, there's three different items here, and we'll accept the decision of the board, whatever that is, obviously. But I wonder if we could just take each one of those. Jonathan, it sounds like on the I would like to take out any funds because there's this travel kind of a little bit, some of these meetings, that kind of thing. If we could change that to direct funds, something, or we could just work that. But if we could vote on those three things just separately, just real quickly, if the board would approve that we just take out that word any and put in direct, if that would, I believe that's probably even acceptable to you, I would think, if we could change that one. Could we just do each one of those? And if there's part of that that accepts the board and there's some of it that doesn't, so it doesn't all get tied to one yes or one no.
Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Dalton.
If we're going to vote on anything and we're going to discuss this contract, I, for one, have not seen this contract. I'm not ready to vote on it. I'm not ready to...
If I could, Mr. Chair.
So we don't really negotiate the contracts. We get the terms and conditions. We vote on it. It's usually a staff issue in finishing the contract. We have standard terms and conditions. We are only really talking about this because in the November board meeting, we talked about two issues we wanted to solve with this next contract with the coalition, and these are the two issues that we're really discussing. So Allison read you the one provision that was proposed by the staff to the coalition last week saying, here's our proposed language on this. This is the first feedback we're getting on it.
I saw it several days ago.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I just saw this a couple of days ago.
So. The second issue was the ownership issue, which we dealt with on the rail contract, but it's something that, you know, we've basically said the same provision that was in the rail contract into this administrative contract.
It's the same wording. Identical.
It's the same wording. So, you know, typically we wouldn't say, you know, we're going to look at a contract and approve it. I mean, we just went through 20 projects today, and we never talked about a single term and condition of those contracts. So we're really only dealing with it because we had these two follow-up issues from the November board meeting.
But you're talking about it in this board, and this board has not seen the contract, so we're here in the dark to even know what you're talking about.
And I believe we requested the contract be sent to
Well,
if it's going to be final, it's a board decision, not a staff position. And as board members, we haven't seen it, so you're asking us to make a decision on something that you guys have negotiated. And it ultimately comes back to this board.
Well,
if the board has given you directions to do that and finalize it, we need to know what the terms are.
Let me clarify what the action item was to work with the coalition to come up with the language, which is exactly what we attempted to do last week. The only reason we haven't had come to any further agreements is because we haven't gotten any feedback back. It was not the assignment of this board to say, staff, bring us the copy of the contract. It was to work on provisions on these two particular issues with the coalition to try to come up with some language. And so this is the stage we're at because we didn't get any feedback on that we're talking about it at this board meeting rather than saying, here's the language that the coalition and us think we can work with, and then presenting that to the board, which is exactly what we're asked to do. But we're not in that position, not because the staff didn't propose some stuff, because we did, but because we haven't had feedback or this dialogue to solve that issue before coming to the board meeting, which is really what we were asked to do.
I totally understand that. But so this discussion that you're having with the coalition should be a staff meeting and be brought back to the board for approval if we've got to approve it.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
And there's one other. The motion that was made to approve this was for $750,000 annually for 4 years contingent on a list of deliverables. Now, I haven't heard anybody talk about deliverables being in the contract. I haven't seen the contract. It may be there. But the motion said list based on deliverables. So I'm just saying that Jonathan, that Chairman, that the board, we're wasting our time listening to this because we haven't seen the contract.
I think we should table it.
And so this discussion should be tabled and sent back to the staff and the coalition. And if the board approves the contract, that's one thing. If it doesn't, you guys work it out, the Attorney General work it out, and we don't see it again.
Because of the uniqueness, if I may, Mr. Chair, that's been stated many times, the uniqueness of this situation with Seven County. Obviously, we don't do contracts as a rule at
right,
the board.
Right.
Thanks to the uniqueness of Seven County, maybe this is one opportunity that we do get deeper into the contract as a board when we approve the contract with staff's input.
But we need to see the contract to get deeper into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Allison.
The Utah Code provides some statutory sections that offer procedures in case of an inability to formulate contract. There's a long list of things that an applicant has to do if the parties are unable to come to terms. The coalition has not done that yet at this point. I don't think maybe perhaps we're not at that point yet where those procedures need to be invoked. But if we're talking about the board going over individual contract terms, there's a specific procedure for doing so. And I would strongly recommend that we follow that procedure, which doesn't begin here. It begins with an application, a written application from the applicant. And there's a number of procedures after that. Like I said, I don't know if we're there yet, but if we are, we certainly have
to need to decide.
But I'm getting hung up in the weeds and days and eyes for a minute. When Jonathan, when you speak of we, are you speaking as the board chair or are you speaking for the staff?
Well, I'm both. Okay. So, I manage the staff, but yes, I am the board chair. I get it. It's typically a staff function to do. I'll try to delineate this way, a staff function to do the contracts.
Because when you speak, well, we haven't been able to do this or that.
Okay, I apologize. The staff function is the contract.
I want to get it to work. That's my bottom line. I want to find a way to make it work.
Treasurer Dampson.
Mr. Johnson, your matter-of-fact comment that this is a political board and these are political processes, I don't accept that. I certainly hope that those of you that are sitting around the table today appreciate the importance of depoliticizing these decisions as much as possible. These are administrative functions. This board should strive to be as unpolitical as possible, to be data-driven, based on facts, and to be consistent. We're human. You have the politics that enter in, but we shouldn't just kind of say, well, we're political. But the combination of you saying that and sort of giving us your perspective on what this board is and how it does business, and the fact that you don't bring these issues to the table with staff, but you wait until this board meeting to bring these issues forward, it seems to me it makes it clear that you certainly prefer to have things as politicized as possible and minimize the rigor and the discipline that comes through administrative processes.
So, Mr. Dampson, if I would like to comment on that. I had mentioned the rail contract, and in that rail contract, it said the state would own 100%. We met with staff on two occasions about this. We were not able to come to agreement on that. Ultimately, as I visited with our board chairs, we want to work as collaboratively as we can. We agreed, so we said we will go ahead and sign that contract. But, and this is no disrespect, but as we met with staff said, we're not going to wield on this. We are going to demand that we own 100%. I'm not sure that is a departure from the normal way that CIB does things. It seems like for us to move forward, we're also now going to have some kind of a special rule and exception to do something different than the board even does. So it seems like it's not a new issue. It's not something we haven't set down. It's not something we haven't talked about. We have not been able, and I said in connection with the rail, we're willing to go with that. I didn't think it would be this difficult today. I understand it's, but it just seems like with that ongoing operations contract, to be able to, we're not even saying the state not have their name on it. I'm simply asking that our name be included as well. That's all I'm asking. I think we're making this much more difficult than it needs to be.
And if I can just address the timing, yes, last week sometime I was given a portion of the contract. My initial response back was, we don't necessarily understand what you've provided to us because it's not in the context of the rest of the contract. And then more was provided to us only this week. We've been busy in meetings with the Surface Transportation Board and others and have not had an opportunity to get back with staff on that. And so, Mr. Damshin, some of your allegations there are just that the timing isn't quite what you were thinking.
Commissioner Ogden.
I think because we don't have all the clarification here, I can say that you would table this and go back to where you guys were working with this, with the staff. I mean, obviously, we can't make a decision without understanding and realizing what's involved here. It is very unique, the 7-county coalition. I think there's a little bit of that concern there. Is they're kind of wanting to get to be their own owners and be out there as their own owners, but it's very difficult, I think, from the perspective that we're using public funds to help get this off the ground. Now, and hopefully they can get on their own. But I do think that at this time we could ag list for another hour. But I think that we need to, I'd make a motion that we table this and go back to where you guys were in this negotiation.
Second.
A second from Senator Winterton. So that's made by Commissioner Ogden to table this project. I don't see any reason why it couldn't be, yes, it'd be on the pending list that we couldn't figure this out by the next board meeting in March. So I think that would be everybody's intent. Further discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Stevens abstains. That is put on the pending list. We have one last item for discussion, and that is the policy retreat location. Is that correct, Candace?
And let us just tell you, again, thank you. We do, you know, it seems like when we come up here, it's always feels like there's a little tension. We don't want to have tension. I don't think you want to have tension. I don't know why sometimes it feels that way. It's certainly not what we're wanting to have happen, but we do want you to know, each of you as board members, we appreciate everything that's happening. We recognize, so we just simply want to let you know we appreciate it, and I'm hoping we can just sit down and get this worked out in the very near future and be back next month. So thank you.
It is not a tension. It's a healthy dialogue.
Very good. Thank you.
So I think we have two choices before us for the policy retreat, Candace. Is that correct? You have a bag in front of you, so somebody must have put this here. Mayor Baker.
Yeah.
I'd make a motion we keep it in Salt Lake and save the state's money.
There are two choices. Nice vote. Try.
I won't be here. Yeah, he's not even going to be here. So.
The two choices, as in it, I had three, but now there's two choices. The first choice is the same choice as it was last year, only we didn't know that the facility in Kanab, Utah, was going to be completed. We funded the Kanab Civic Center, and they have indicated that it will be ready. I put out feelers for anybody, any other locations that wanted to volunteer. There were a couple of them that came, or two or three or four came in. the two that the last two standing are Kanab, which would be Kane County Commissioner Lamont Smith has indicated interest in behalf of Kane County. Now, remember, this was Jim Mattson's request when he was on the board. Anyway, someone else has taken the ball and run with it. It will be at the Kanab Center. They will do the preparations, and they have indicated that they will host an evening dinner on June 13th, and they'll have a tour of the Alton coal mine, which is beginning operation on Friday afternoon. Now, Bernal came up. I got a call, a very nice call from Mayor Baker, who said Bernal City would, he suggests Bernal City. They'd like to host the Permanent Community Impact Board, and the meetings would be held at the UNA Conference Center, which CIB has also funded. Now, I think he's playing unfairly, but
I haven't even looked inside yet. So.
Is this under the $50 limit for this? I did not tell Kanab that they needed to provide swag, but I'll turn the time over to you, Chairman Hardy.
So those are the two choices before us. I think we're whatever the board wants to do. Kanab's a ways away, but it was something that we had a project going on. We were in Duchesne in 2017. We were in Richfield last year. But we love people who are willing to host us. So.
And we're happy to do that.
Any strong
county step up to the plate, and when I talk to them, and would love to do it. I think you've read the thing. We were river rafting and dinner that night up there on the mountain, and
we'll even help host it in Daggett County.
And Daggett County's going to help. Yep.
Well, you just need some hotel rooms, but no, we can find them down there in Uinta County.
For the day trip.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, with your name on it, no. Dedicated.
Do we own that facility?
I think CIB still owns a portion of that building, so yeah. I think we're okay.
So we just need to rent some mattresses.
So is there a strong feeling? Does anybody want to make the recommendation? Mr. Ogden.
I'd make the recommendation that we go to Vernal. It's kind of like either way, it's quite a drive. You know, going to Kanab, maybe a little closer for me, but Bruce will be, you know, it's going to be a three-day trip for Bruce.
right.
Yeah, it's always a three-day trip to somewhere for Bruce.
Yes.
Somehow he gets home quicker.
So if there's no objections, we'll try to get this planned out with Vernal City, Uinta County, and we'd love to be out there, so we will plan on that. I'll entertain one last motion.
One more, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Zanotti, before we get to that motion.
2 years ago, when I proposed to move from the paper platform to digital platform, we suggested also iLegislate, but of course Candace came back with the idea that we don't have the money for that purpose, but we have the board docs. Has not been any updates in the board docs, and we have a challenge to work with this system because with iLegislate, I can do approve the minutes. I can just put highlighted, cut and paste, and send it to commissioners to say these are my objections, or I can take a note, and I can put questions. With the board docs, there's nothing you can do. You have to write handwritten notes to remember the question you would like to ask from the applicant. I cannot share the information with the rest of the board to say these are the things I'm concerned about. Anybody have any objections? We bring it up again. So it's a possibility either going back to iLegislate or do some kind of improvements. It is the hardest system to work.
Okay. We'll look into that. Okay. And we'll start working on that. Hopefully we make some progress. We'll see where we're at next month, but it may be a month or two after that.
That is fine. I just wanted to say it's really hard to work on the system.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
By Mr. Zanotti, non-debatable. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're adjourned.